Blog Talk Radio.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble's face. You won't see him again. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, American.
Welcome to another exciting show with Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. So turn up the volume and enter our chat room, or grab your phones, call in, and join the conversation. Help us to restore the republic to this country and inspire the majority to be silent no longer.
Well, look me straight in the eye. Tell me what you see. I'll tell the truth every time. Yes, you can count on me. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up? Don't sit down. Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, 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 American.
Well, welcome to another exciting episode of Southern Sense here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your hostess with the mostest, the radio chick, Annie, along with the coolest of co-hosts in all of BTR land. Whoa, Mike. Good afternoon, well, Mike.
Good afternoon. You need to tap your mic again. It's still kind of rough, but the best in the land. Well, I didn't know I was that popular of a co-host, but thank you. Good afternoon. Welcome, everybody, for this wonderful afternoon, July 17th. Glad to be here.
Absolutely, absolutely. Hey, listen, I want to remind everyone, here in Buford, we're having Lieutenant Dan Weekend number 3 coming up the week of September 15th, culminating in the Lieutenant Dan Band performing here in Buford with Gary Sinise. We'll be broadcasting live that Friday, I believe it's the 14th, from Cat Island again with the wounded veterans for the Independence. So we're going to have an exciting week in September. Anyone interested in more information, simply go to LDW3 for Lieutenant Dan Week number 3.com. And we'll put that up in the chat room so everyone will have that link there too. So, Mike, what is going on in your world today?
Lieutenant Dan Weekend sneaking up on us. I remember when I first joined you as co-host last year, I think it was, when you made the announcement. I think it was, like, spring. And I was like, man, why did you need to make that announcement? Next thing you know, it was September, and here we are, really, mid-July. And, wow, what a – just – even
time flies.
In the times, and not only that, but in the times we talk about how difficult they are, there's still just these great people doing things for our veterans, unselfishly, just these great things. I mean, this whole weekend dedicated to the veterans.
Yeah, and I want to give shout out to someone that was very hard on this weekend, Lieutenant Dan Weekend and the Independence Fund, Robert D. Travell. He's the one who got us to broadcast out of Cat Island back in April. And recently he lost his uncle. His uncle actually happened to have been an Army veteran. He was actually from Germany and ended up serving in the U.S. Army when his family emigrated here. And he just recently passed away at the age of 94. He was also a local historian, and he was working on two books of history at the time of his passing. So we give out sympathies to the Travell family for their loss. And his uncle was a very, very great and generous man. So hopefully we can then move on. All right. We've got our own veterans we're going to dedicate the show to. And anyone that listens to us knows we start off every single show with a dedication to a fallen military hero. And this time we've got three members of the Army, two Army Rangers and a first lieutenant. And I guess we'll get on with that. How about that?
Let's make it happen.
Okay.
I'm good on my end.
All right, I'm ready.
So far. All right.
This is going to be dedication to U.S. Army First Lieutenant Ashley White, U.S. Army Ranger Sergeant First Class Christopher Domage, U.S. Army Ranger Private First Class Christopher Horns. U.S. Army First Lieutenant Ashley White died in Afghanistan this in October of 2011. Working on a mission she believed in, her friends say. White, 24, is a native of Alliance, Ohio, and was killed near Kandahar Province when the assault force she was with triggered an improvised device. The Army said statements to two other soldiers, Christopher Domage, 29, and Christopher Horns, 20, also were killed. She believed in what she was doing, and she wanted to take part in something that was bigger than herself. Laura Dodson, who served with White in North Carolina National Guard. I got an email from her that she's enjoying the mission and she's with her family who's looking forward to coming home. White was a member that aided special operations. What made made up of women are trained to deal with women and children who work for one country and our Army spokesman said. She deployed to Afghanistan to walk. Married Army Captain Carolina. Sonia Benerick attended University of Hawaii. They were in the same class and all studied together. White, Baronek said, graduated in December 2009. Baronek called White upbeat, down to earth, and selfish. She made you a better person just being around her, Baronek said. White was assigned to the 230th Brigade Support Battalion, 30th Heavy Brigade Combat Team, North Carolina National Guard. She was commissioned in the Army as a medical service corps. White was put into the Bronze Star Medal with the Purple Heart, very first service medal, the Afghanistan Combat Team. Besides her husband, White while some other armies won 4 months ago, so much as one terrorist attack served on combat in Iraq and Afghanistan. So many killed in Afghanistan and our province. And the assault force company triggered the Dodge-Con. He grew up in the Antigua, Colorado Springs, but he was but the response started life in Iraq and not trips to Afghanistan. Even the Bronze Star cartoon. It was set up off the turn on that Army Foundation 500 combat deployments. Rangers are among the Army's most special operations forces. Battalion Commander David Hodine was a Ranger wanted at your side. He is irreplaceable in formation in our heart. Don't marry young daughter. Colorado Spring Army Ranger, also killed with black and white, was an avid sportsman who followed his father's footsteps to the Army and ultimately in Afghanistan. He was a good, honest hit with martial points to soldier on. Hard to understand things. Private class, his soul points died during the accident and our Afghanistan. Said, once to demonstrate his strength, Christopher Warnes picked up his uncle and ran up a trail with railroad ties. We are going up the hill. I was 220 pounds and he carried me up those steps, Mark Warnes laughed. Christopher Warnes, Colorado Spring, and wanted to call it home. Drove to the foothills of Pikes Peak to ride his dirt bike behind him. And he proposed to Young. Just fit in, grandmother. Not soft. Not full of love. Help. I will. Help. Yep. Yep. Oh, Colorado. Fred. Survive now. He's in heaven. That we were very proud of that. So, it's now dedicated. U.S. Army First Lieutenant, Max Price. U.S. Army Ranger, Sergeant First Class, Christopher Logan. U.S. Army Ranger, Private First Class, Christopher Horn, who were killed on the 2nd, 2001, in our province. Was a dedication to 2 to 3 heroes here that gave their lives in Kandahar province, Afghanistan. And what better way to pay them tribute is playing Todd on Herodin's song, My Name is America, because there are no greater heroes than those who have given their lives for our liberties and freedom. Here we go.
oppression. I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. When I'm attacked, I protect and defend. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free. My name is America, don't tread on me. I cannot be broken, I cannot be shamed. If you hurt me, I'll get stronger, and I'll rise up from the flames, and I'll always stand proud and free. I'm America, don't tread on me. America is my name. My strength was not taken from others. Others gave it to me. They believe in the virtues I stand for, my respect for humanity. Now I'm challenged by tyrants who envy my power, but their vicious deeds become my finest hour. Because my name is America, I stand.
America. You can find that up on YouTube. And again, that was our dedication, Three Heroes That Fell in Kandahar Province, October 22nd, 2011. We're supposed to be having a special guest today, aren't we, Cool Mike?
Yes.
All right.
Joel the Plumber, I think, was our guest.
Samuel Wurzen, oh God, my teeth just went backwards, Wurzelbacher, known as Joel the Plumber. And unfortunately, I got a call just shortly before the show that there's a slight conflict and he's going to be located somewhere where he's not able to call out and call into the show. So I have to apologize. However, I lassoed someone in Philly or Joe. I have actually lassoed his spokesperson. So I want to welcome aboard Phil Cristofanelli. Good afternoon, Phil.
Hi, how are you?
All right. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
All right. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Me? I'm Joe's. I was his deputy campaign director in his primary race, and now I handle his media and all of his interviews. I do surrogate interviews like I'm doing now, and I also given prep before his live interviews on TV and other major outlets.
Oh, in other words, you're the go-to man. You're the call row for the campaign.
Well, that's one way to put it. Certainly, we have a couple other strategists on staff, but I'm certainly Joe's outlet to the press.
Ah. Now, a lot of people don't realize that Joe actually served in the military himself.
I think it's breaking up a little bit, but I think you said, did Joe serve in the military? And the answer is yes, he did. He was a plumber in the Air Force for about 4 years. He was stationed in Alaska and several other places around the country. That's where he learned to be a plumber, and that's where he went immediately after graduating high school.
Yeah, I have to apologize. It seems to be that my mixer box somehow is, like, giving me a fit.
Well, you can always throw it against the wall or out the window like they do in that hotel commercial. It's not working. They throw it out the window.
Now, you'd never think that being in the Air Force, they would need plumbers, but I guess they do. But I think of a funny story. I have a friend of mine who, right out of high school, went into the Air Force, and he ended up digging latrines in Korea. So I can never know where you're going to end up.
Well, Joe learned a lot in the Air Force. One story he likes to point out is that there is a lot of waste in our Defense Department as well that we need to look at. And an example he uses is that when he was installing sinks, they were putting top of the line, the gold and the silver lined Kohler sinks in all of the officers' quarters, and he just thought that it was a rampant abuse of taxpayer dollars, and that's the sort of little things that Joe wants to crack down on across the entire federal budget and try to rein in some of the spending.
Well, then, what's your opinion, then, of this new fleet the Air Force is coming out with? We're using the biofuels, and the fuel is going to cost $56 a gallon.
Yeah, Joe's for using whatever is most efficient given the market prices. So he doesn't believe in artificially subsidizing alternative forms of energy if they can't withstand market forces. If an alternative fuel source is cheaper and more efficient for our government to use, then by all means, let's buy it. But right now, we're not in the place to subsidize Barack Obama's allies, Marcy Kaptur's allies in the green industry with taxpayer dollars.
Yeah. Now, we're talking to Phil Christofanelli. He's the spokesperson for Joe the Plumber, who unfortunately ended up somewhere. And you know how campaigns go. Everything always changes at the last minute. So, unfortunately, he ended up somewhere where he wasn't able to call in. So, Phil has been kind enough to step in. Phil, I'm going to play a clip. They Joe famous. But can you give us a little background on what he was doing that day that he ended up with his conversation with President Obama?
Sure. Joe was out in his front yard. He was playing football with his son. He was throwing it back and forth, and a couple of Secret Service officers came over and told him to put away the football because a presidential candidate was going to come down the street. And Joe doesn't really like to be told what to do on his own front lawn, so he continued to play football. And when the president got closer, they came back, and they were really serious that time. So he decided that he would put away the football, and he went over to talk to this presidential candidate. And that's when he first ran into Barack Obama and asked the famous question about his tax policies, and got the response that Barack Obama wanted to spread the wealth around because it was good for everybody. And that made Joe the Plumber.
I'm going to play the clip in case someone has not heard it, but I can't imagine anyone out there that has not heard this. So let me play the clip. Here we go. Joe Plummer.
I'm getting ready to buy a company that makes $250,000 to $270,000 a year.
All right.
Your new tax plan is going to tax me more, isn't it?
Well, here's what's going to happen. The if you're a small business, which you would qualify, first of all, you get a 50% tax credit, so you get a cut on taxes for your health care costs. So you would actually get a tax cut on that front. If your revenue is above 250, then from 250 down, your taxes are going to stay the same. It is true that for, say, 250 up, from 250 to 300 or so.
Well, here's my question.
I just want to answer your question. So for that additional amount, you'd go from 36 to 39%, which is what it was under Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
So and the reason we're doing that is because 95% of small businesses make less than 250. And so what I want to do is give them a tax cut. I want to give all these folks who are, you know, bus drivers, teachers, auto workers who make less, I want to give them a tax cut. And so what we're doing is we are saying that the folks who make more than 250, that marginal amount above 250, they're going to be taxed at a 39 instead of a 36% rate. There are two ways of looking at it. I mean, one way of looking at it is now that you've become more successful. Through hard work, you don't want to be taxed as much.
Exactly.
Which I understand. But another way of looking at it is 95% of folks who are making less than 250, they may be working hard too.
Yeah.
But they're being taxed at a higher rate than they would be under mine. So what I'm doing is, you know, put yourself back 10 years ago when you were only making whatever, 60 or 70. Under my tax plan, you would be keeping more of your paycheck. You'd be having lower taxes, which means that you would have saved and gotten to the point where you are faster. My attitude is that if the economy is good for folks from the bottom up, it's going to be good for everybody. If you've got a plumbing business, you're going to be better off if you've got a whole bunch of customers who can afford to hire you. And right now, everybody's so pinched that business is bad for everybody. And I think when you spread the wealth around, it's good for everybody.
I love that. Has anything he said been true? You know, you look back 3 years later, does anything that's told Joe ever actually come to fruition?
Well, yeah, absolutely. He said he was going to spread the wealth around, and it looks like that's exactly what he wants to do. So he was being straightforward. He revealed himself on the campaign trail as an advocate of these spread the wealth around policies.
That's true. And it's funny because I was looking at – someone sent me something here about Obamacare, and what they didn't tell senior citizens in there is the amount of money, the premium, is going to be going up. If you pay, say, for example, the monthly fee for a citizen, senior citizen is $96.40 this year. Next year, it's going to jump to $104, which isn't a big jump when you think about it. The following year, $120. But big jump is when it comes into full power, Obamacare. 2014, the Medicare insurance premium for a senior citizen that would originally be paying only $96.40 will jump to $247 a month. Now, I know my mother-in-law passed away a couple of years ago. She was paying about $80 a month for her Medicare. She only was getting $700 a month in Social Security benefits. Now, can you imagine taking the $250 out of a $700 check? What are they going to live on?
Right. They're definitely – it's very difficult for people on fixed incomes. And because Joe is a working-class guy, he understands that more than most of these congressmen who have opted themselves out of Obamacare and have lived very privileged lives. Joe knows what it's like to balance a budget, and he sympathizes with people who are on fixed income. And it makes him very frustrated when he hears things coming out of Congress like Nancy Pelosi said, we have to pass the bill to find out what's in it. And Joe believes that, you know, our Congress people should really understand what is in these bills and how it affects people like senior citizens on fixed incomes before we pass them into law and then have to sort it out later. So Joe's going to do a lot of work on the front end in Congress to learn everything he can about a bill and be able, because he has a national platform, to be able to go on the major TV networks and explain to people across the country, working people, how these pieces of legislation are really going to affect them.
All right. Mike, you want to jump in here?
Yeah, I have a kind of, it's a changed topic, but it's still, after that interview, how did, I remember my first scenario of seeing Joe was on Hannity, where basically Joe was not only asking, or Sean was not only asking the questions, he was answering for Joe, not even letting him talk. But how did that all come about? Okay, Annie played that interview where he's going back and forth with the president. Then what? Just all of a sudden, somebody came up to him and said, "Wow, we want to put you on Fox News," or what? What kind of like help me grow that the tree of Joe the plumber?
Well, the McCain campaign got a hold of that video immediately after it came out, and it was somebody in his campaign that actually came up with the name Joe the plumber. I mean, Joe was not expecting to see himself all over national TV named Joe the plumber. It was kind of thrust upon him, and the press started showing up the next day, and he started taking interviews, and it just kind of snowballed from there. And then they had the presidential debate where I think they spent, I don't know, like an hour talking about Joe the plumber back and forth between Barack Obama and John McCain. And ever since that time, he's become sort of an image of the working man in America who wants to move up maybe from his job into something like owning a small business or proceeding up the company ladder.
Now, he took a heavy hit, too, because he was looking to buy business. He actually lost the chance to buy that business because of the media coverage, and they were trying to say he isn't a real plumber, blah, blah, blah. You know, he took a personal hit, really heavy from that.
Yeah, the toll that it's taken on his personal life and his family was severe, but he was able to overcome all of the adversarial naysayers and you know, he's gone all around the country since that time, speaking at over 300 tea parties and groups. He's helped many candidates get elected to office. He's endorsed many candidates, and he started an organization called he helped to start an organization called Alaska's Healing Hearts, which helps veterans who are wounded reintegrate in society through hunting and fishing in Alaska. And so Joe's been able to use his name, Joe the Plumber, to accomplish some really great things, despite all of the dirty tricks the media tried to pull after he entered the spotlight.
You know, maybe I ought to have him hook up our Independence Fund. There's basically the same thing down here, because we have a Lieutenant Dan weekend, the third one, starting in September. And I'm telling everyone, go to ldw3.com. Donate at least $5 for that. But we get the wounded veterans that come in, and we take them out golfing, fishing. There's a bike and a marathon. Have specialized bicycles for these veterans, so that if they have lost a limb or something like that, the bikes are tailored to them. Otherwise, someone will have it with a sidecar, and actually, these things are absolutely great. And they have a whole week where they interact with their family and the community, because we got the Tri-Command here, the Marine Corps Air Station, Paris Island Depot, and Naval Hospital. But we get vets from all over the country for 1 week. Maybe Joe might want to look into joining us with that.
I'm sure he would, because, helping veterans is really one of Joe's key issues. He feels that a lot of veterans have been left behind by the system. And if there's one thing that our federal government is supposed to do right, it's to take care of people who go overseas to defend our country. And so Joe has entered a piece of legislation that would help veterans get jobs. You know, the media likes to say he's not a plumber. Marcy Kaptur likes to say he's not a plumber because he learned about plumbing in the Air Force. Well, a lot of the private sector rules prevent former servicemen from using their military experience towards their qualifications as a experienced tradesman in private sector life. So one piece of legislation that Joe is really in support of is one that would allow veterans to use what they've learned in the military and in the private sector as well without any penalty.
Yeah, that's something that's really important, because a lot of these veterans come back and they don't understand how they can, when they do the resumes, explain to the civilian side how their skill can and will help them on the civilian side in business, in social work, or in a ton of different jobs they can do. You know, people see military and you think guns, and that's all they can do, shoot guns. But no, they have so much more skills, and I would prefer to have a veteran that I know will be on time and show up every day.
Yeah, absolutely. They're some of the most reliable and best trained people in the country. And we should really be utilizing our veterans as they return to private sector life.
Mm, that is true.
It's kind of funny that the media dubs Joe the plumber, and then it's the Obama people that say, well, he's not a plumber. Well, obviously, we don't know Joe, but even if he was not, he never said he was. It's the media that basically, it's almost it's like saying, they call me Cool Mike the mechanic. They're like, well, you're not a mechanic. Never said I was. But I mean, I find it amazing. I found it amazing that Joe, for just an average Joe, really was a very good public speaker. When he talked about certain issues, it's easy for your average mom and pop to resonate with what he was saying, having gone through challenges, family issues, not even afraid to address certain issues which, I don't know, sometimes in election years there's certain issues you don't want to talk about. And Joe was just out there talking about them. Just, you know, the only thing missing was a little dinner table and a couple of beers, because, I mean, he was addressing it in very simple layperson terms. I really like that about him. And he's just an average person like us.
Yeah, absolutely. And Joe believes in speaking in principles. He doesn't really like to get bogged down in a lot of detailed policies that people don't understand coming out of Congress. He likes to articulate what a piece of legislation or a certain set of beliefs really means from a principled standpoint of right and wrong. And that's what a lot of people, what a lot of Americans understand, and they like to see issues framed in that way. And Joe has been really good at communicating to the average voter what certain things the government does means to their everyday life.
How did you get to be involved with Joe?
Joe hired me through a consultant that he retained that recommended that I take on his race.
I want to remind listeners that we were supposed to have Joe the Plumbing as our guest, and a last-minute change in his schedule, because campaigns change minute to minute, he's now somewhere where he's unable to call in. So we have his spokesperson, Phil Cristofelli, a nice Italian boy, as my grandmother would always say, joining us. And he's here to fill in for Joe the Plumber, who we hope to have on soon, right?
Well, I think
I so too. There was an ad that you carry on a webpage, and there's this woman, Mother Georgia, and I got a kick out of watching that. I'm going to tell everyone to go to Joe for Congress 2012 and click on the video with Mother Georgia. She's precious. She is absolutely precious. If you don't mind, I want to play that for her, for everyone.
Go ahead.
Mother Georgia, I'm already excited.
I always just tinker around. You know, it's like, I don't have the money to have a fancy garden, but I figure I can do what I can with what I have. My name is Mother Georgia, and I've known Joe since he was about 13 years old. Just thinking back, I used to watch the boys, my son and Joe and his brother, play basketball, and other friends in the neighborhood, play basketball right across the street. I voted for President Obama. In fact, I campaigned for President Obama, and I requested that they get someone out here in this area. And the day after is when President Obama was in town and showed up in our neighborhood. And that's when my neighbor, my little son, my son's friend, Joe the Plumber, surfaced. It wasn't like he was out there buying to get into politics. He wasn't out there trying to challenge the candidate for presidency disrespectfully. He was just being human, asking a simple question. And some of the things that came back at him after he did simply that was totally ridiculous. Because, you know, anyone has a right to ask a question. Joe is a very, very nice person. He's a very good man. He's helpful. He's respectful. He's considerate. He really cares about people. He really cares about people. I voted for President Obama, but I would most certainly vote for Joe. And I'd love to see him and my friend Barack work together.
You know, there's two things about that ad I love. The very final shot, she's standing in front of her home, and in front of the home, she's got a Joe the Plumber for Congress sign. On top of her roof, though, she's got an Obama-Biden sign. And the other thing is that she's walking around in every single scene. She's got a mason jar with something in it, and I don't think it's Kool-Aid. We there?
No, you gotta love it.
The Mother Georgia ad, and I'm not just saying this because Jill was one of my clients, but the Mother Georgia ad is one of the best political ads I've seen this year. And it really accomplishes two very important things. The first is the media created this image of Joe the Plumber, and they threw all these labels on him. They created their own storyline of Joe, which often didn't really match up to Samuel Joseph Wurzelbacher, the actual human being. And so the point of this ad first was to show the real Joe, show who Joe is in his everyday life, just your average guy with friends across the entire political spectrum. He's not a hyper-partisan individual. He's just your regular average American who wants to see all Americans succeed and everybody better off. The second great thing about this ad is Joe's in a very liberal district. It's just a fact that he's going to need a lot of crossover votes of individuals who vote for Obama but also vote for Joe. And I think that he has appeal to a lot of those people because, he is just a working-class guy, and he understands what it means to be working class. And that he can really connect to people who also sympathize with the Democratic Party in ways that a lot of Republicans can't. He doesn't have the sort of country club Republican or business executive Republican label about him. And we're really conveying that as well to this. And that's why it's just a really perfect ad for Joe's sister.
Yeah, it does seem to be. But
that actually appeals me. That actually really appeals me to Joe. Now, because I hear, Phil, I'm a huge, huge critic of the Republican Party and the Fat Cats, and just the direction they've taken this country. I think that really, really appeals to me simply because, as primarily most of my life voting as a Republican, I see the direction that they're taking away from really the grassroots of it, the Joe the Plumbers, the Cool Mikes, the Annies of the Republican Party. And in many, many ways, we need to elect a lot more Joes and kind of get back what they, not really what they've taken because it's a party, but get kind of restore some of the old values that used to be a big core of the Republican Party.
Absolutely, and Joe definitely represents that segment of the party that's often forgotten. You know, we have a lot of people of very humble means that are socially conservative and believe that the government should be small. They aren't CEOs, they aren't executives, they aren't finance or business folks, but they're just regular people who think that Washington, D.C. should live in their means just like everyone else has to, and they believe in family values. And that's what Joe really represents, and that's a huge segment of the Republican Party. And it'd be nice if we had more Republicans in Washington that actually reflected that sort of individual in reality.
Who are some of the people some of the other clients you've had that are in the political process that would be names that we know?
I've had a number of clients. Another one that I'm working for right now is a great candidate in Florida. He's running for U.S. Senate. His name is Dr. Dave Weldon. He's a 7-term congressman, a veteran, and a physician. And he's running in the Republican primary right now, gaining a lot of steam in this last few weeks. He's been endorsed by Phyllis Schlafly, Sam Brownback, Concerned Women for America, Citizens United, a really awesome candidate. Other candidates and causes that I've worked for, I've done ballot propositions, I've done U.S. Senate races, I've done some other congressional races that you may or may not have heard of. Most of my work's done in Missouri, where I'm from, but I've been all over.
Wow. Wow. What is your background? Were you always Republican, or do you have an epiphany and decide to come over to the right side?
Well, I've always been a Republican. I graduated from Washington University in St. Louis. I'm pretty young. I'm 22 years old, so I'm pretty young to this game. And so to say I was always a Republican isn't saying that I was a Republican for a very long time. But, I've always been in Republican campaigns, and that's where I plan on staying.
Are you finding it being...
Dr. Weldon... Oh, go ahead, Annie. Dr. Weldon was the guy from Long Island. He was, like, from New York.
Yes, Dr. Weldon was born in New York and later came to Florida. That's where he served 7 terms in Congress along the Space Coast. You probably remember Dr. Weldon because he was the individual who encouraged the federal government to intervene and save Terri Schiavo when they were going to try to take her off life support. That was one of his highlights in Washington. And he's also just known as a champion of pro-life causes and just a very conservative, consistent, experienced and thoughtful legislator.
Yeah, it's funny because about a year or so ago, I did reach out to him to try to get him to come on the show. But since I've hooked you, Phil, we're going to talk.
I really liked him for that. He was a you got to love people who are, at the time, I mean, not politicians, but a physician. And, you know, he's not taking marching orders. He's standing up for life. And that's when it reminded me. It's like he was from New York, and, I mean, he really had intestinal fortitude that he said, you know, basically he was – I just remember him being very smart. And as a person who believes in life, at the very, very beginning of life, which also our declaration talks about protecting, I really liked him. And I did not know he was running for Senate. First I know of it is from here.
Right. He just jumped in about 7 weeks ago. And it's amazing because, 3 weeks ago we were at 6% in the polls. It just came out yesterday that we're at about 17%. And he's gaining steam very quickly. We all saw that Connie Mack, who was in this race, is a very weak candidate. Connie Mack, if you remember, hasn't shown up to 45% of his votes this year in Congress. He's very inexperienced and somewhat erratic. And we just don't think that he's the right person to take on Bill Nelson. But Dr. Weldon absolutely has the experience and the record to do very well.
Okay. I'm going to wish him good luck.
It'd be great to get him on. On here. That's for sure. Tell us a little bit about you. Like, where were you born? Did you play any sports in high school? And just how you got here, where you're sitting now.
Well, I was born in Springfield, Illinois. I went to a Catholic high school, and I didn't play any sports because I was too busy doing political campaigns, and so I really got started early. I did political campaigns all through college, and I've continued it professionally since I graduated a couple years ago.
I like this man already.
Maybe we should have him.
You got to be a Bear fan, being from Illinois.
That's correct. My dad was from Chicago, and so we were all raised as Bear fans.
I knew he was a good man from the start, Annie. I like this guy.
All right, well, I let me ask my question here, Mike.
Sorry, Annie.
All right. I'm saying because he is so young, and like Cool Mike, he's close. You two are close in age. Did you find it difficult when you started to become politically active to interact with your peers? Because now the school system is so liberal, almost progressive to that. And how did you handle as a conservative or a Republican going through the system and dealing with your friends?
Right, and it was very difficult because I went to an extremely liberal school. I was pretty radical in college. I was definitely someone who threw it in their face at every corner. One of the things we did was my group built a life-size mock Soviet gulag in the middle of campus. and we had Russian guards dressed up patrolling it and prisoners inside, and we handed out flyers that said these are the direct effects of socialism. It drove the university absolutely crazy. We had James O'Keefe on campus recording the university officials as they conspired to shut it down. And so we took every opportunity to expose them whenever we could. And that's the sort of stuff that I was involved in college. I was very active in the campus paper, and I wrote for other political organizations. I've been on big government several times with stories about biased professors and how they attempt to indoctrinate students. And I was pretty vocal. I definitely didn't back down in college as much as they wanted me to.
No, you sound a lot like me when I was a lot younger. I want to go on to something that happened during the last election cycle. And I'm wondering what you would say, Joe the Plumber would say, if he ever had to face this woman. And this is a very famous piece. This is a real quick, short clip.
Peggy Joseph took her daughter out of school early Wednesday for this. Her emotions ran high following Obama's speech.
It was the most memorable time of my life. It was a touching moment because I never thought this day would ever happen. I won't have to worry about putting gas in my car. I won't have to worry about paying my mortgage. You know, if I help him, he's going to help me.
My first response to her would be, how's that working for you now? You know, as his spokesman, you know what's on his mind. What would he say in response to this woman, Peggy Johnson?
Right. And Joe absolutely has no tolerance for a sense of entitlement. You know, he doesn't believe that anyone is entitled to anything. Joe's someone who's worked for everything he's had in life, and he believes everybody should work for what they have in life. Now, it's one thing if you're unable to work, but Joe believes any able-bodied man should be able to go out, get a job, and provide for his family. And he wants to make sure that everybody can have jobs and access to jobs, not that everybody can have access to more free stuff. Because it's not free stuff which creates wealth in America. It's the labor that people put into their work and their life that creates wealth. And Joe's going to make our economy a more vibrant place for jobs to exist.
Yeah, well, you said several things that you free, but there's no true free stuff.
Right.
And what gas? Yeah, gas at the time that she made the statement was, I think, just hovering around $2 a gallon, and now it's trying to climb back up to $4. Yeah, they're not getting it, are they?
No, they certainly aren't. And it's interesting. We had an interesting poll come out today in Florida showing that Dr. Weldon was leading 52% to Bill Nelson's 40% in people under 35. And I think younger people are looking at the last 4 years and they're realizing that Barack Obama's rhetoric did not live up to reality, that he has failed young people who are now unemployed en masse, and that we need someone with real solutions, someone like Joe, who has worked for a living and knows what it means to balance a budget. He knows how difficult it is to keep a business running and for how difficult it is for people to make payroll. So we need people like Joe in Congress who can provide solutions instead of flowery rhetoric.
Yeah, excuse me. And one of the things I noticed, it's not just the young people that are leaving him, it's established Democrats that are now jumping ship. Recently he was in North Carolina, and he's supposed to have a convention, I think, what is that, September or August, I forget which. And right now there's so many Democrats, I like the way I just did a Freudian slip, Democrats are now backing out of the convention because they're up for re-election and they don't want to be associated with his campaign. How did he do in Ohio when he was over there just recently, just last week?
Well, Joe put out a statement. He said, I'd be embarrassed to show up if I were Barack Obama, because even in the very liberal 9th district, voters voted overwhelmingly to reject Obamacare last October with the Health Care Freedom Amendment. And this is, it lost 60% to 40%. The Health Care Freedom Amendment passed, and Barack Obama took a huge blow in the critical state of Ohio. And so he can show up in the ninth, but the people of the ninth have rejected his signature piece of legislation. And he's going to have to run on that, and he's stuck with it after the Supreme Court ruling. And so Joe's optimistic about his chances in Ohio and Romney's chances in Ohio as well.
Overall, we just need more Dr. Weldons and Joe the Plumbers and more Annies and Phils and Mikes in office, period. And we debate back and forth over the presidents, which are always controversial. But bottom line is, if we have, quote-unquote, your average Joes in Congress and in the Senate, basically they'll take care of the president. We just have to get these people in office who are not going to allow just these outrageous – because even Romney in some way is talking about, well, we're going to replace it with my idea. Mind your own damn business. Let the market be the idea. It's so frustrating sometimes to see people's ignorance. I mean, the president goes before this group. If you really think about it, the people mostly affected by the last 4 years of Barack Obama are the main base of his supporters. They can't even afford to get to the convention because they're broke.
Right. Right.
All right. Well,
it's exactly these people who are going to suffer the problems of this giant new tax that Obamacare has now been ruled to be. They couldn't afford insurance before. That's why they didn't have it. And now they're simply being told, you know, either buy insurance or pay a giant tax. And that's not going to sit well with people who don't have a lot of money.
No, and right now I believe it's 13 states have already said they're opting out, and more are considering. They're just waiting to see how the election goes in November. November 6th, I'm going to bet on the morning of the 7th, you're going to find a lot more states lined up saying we're opting out because Ronnie has been elected. I'm going to take a short break, do a PSA for all our BTR friends, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Annie, the radio with Cool Mike. Our guest is Phil Crispinelli, who's filling in for Joe the Plumber. He's his spokesman. We'll be right back in a few short moments.
You can't handle the truth.
24/7 Internet Talk Radio. Socialism is not an option.
Vote with the candidate that most closely comes to your world views, whatever those may be.
Oh, you got a great show.
Thank you.
I'm impressed with your callers and Dave and everyone on that show. It's just a great show. You're very well informed. It's run like a tight ship. It's very good.
I'm sorry for those who support that lifestyle.
Right.
But it's impossible. We've said this before. It's impossible to be a true conservative and gay. It's
so,
just impossible.
Heaven help you guys if the Republicans actually win in 2012, because I'll be gunning for those so-called folks. I'm sorry, did I speak clearly enough for this?
Friday evening, I had the opportunity to appear on Tesler's program. Tesler hosts three different programs, and I appeared on the Friday Night Roundtable program, which was sort of the less serious. He's got some, but I was on the Friday Night Show, which allowed me to riff on top.
Tesler, I want to thank you so much for having me on. You have a rocking program.
Thank
you. This has been very energetic, and getting the message out is the most important thing. Do not ignore this show. Tesler, you got a fantastic show, and I just want to say God bless America. We got a lot of work ahead of us.
Stop, because I obviously, I'm very conservative. I'm not religious orientated. Believe me, people who know me know that if I went into a church, it would probably
burst into flames.
Probably.
Oh, geez, Ski and David, thank you. I love you. Kisses, kisses, kisses.
Oh, boy. Okay. Oh, man, I don't want to go there. Good night and God bless.
Socialism is not an option. WWWDB. 24/7 Internet Talk Radio.
Please join Doc Jones as he kicks off primetime with the Sit Rep. Weekdays from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern, Dr. C. Robert Jones is a retired Marine officer. Carter with a PhD in history, and he keeps up with the day-to-day events and analyzes and explains with historical facts and informed opinion. Gojo Media is dynamic and fresh, so please catch The Situation Report every weeknight at 8 p.m. Eastern Time.
People come to internet radio for any number of reasons. Among the reasons are perhaps they're tired of the pasteurized, homogenized news that they get from their TV. Or some may want their talk radio a little more raw. Well, that's what you get with internet talk radio. Real people with real opinions that give you real conversation. It's not your daddy's talk radio. And it's for people who stay informed and a great way to share ideas and debate issues. Well, let's just say that internet talk radio hosts don't sit in front of the makeup mirror before they go on the air. Internet talk radio is a fast-growing new media that allows folks to get around the dinosaur media.
A real conservative knows Southern sense when he hears it. Listen to Annie, the radio chick in South Carolina on Blog Talk Radio every Tuesday and Friday. Annie is co-founder and webmaster of the Buford, South Carolina Tea Party, and she doesn't put up with those brainless northern liberals. Get your full dose of Southern Sense every Tuesday and Friday on Blog Talk Radio. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/southern-sense for some real old-fashioned Southern Sense with Annie.
We're back. You're listening to this on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Annie, with my co-host, Cool Mike, and our guest is Phil Christofanelli. He is the spokesperson for Joe the Plumber, who unfortunately had a last-minute schedule change, and he ended up in an area where he was unable to make a phone call out to call into the show. So welcome aboard, Phil. Good afternoon, Phil, again.
Yep, I'm still here.
I got a question before we went into the break. With the IRS handling Obamacare, and obviously me being one of the victims, am I going to be broadcasting the show from, like, Leavenworth because I can't afford to pay the – they're going to throw me in jail because I can't afford, the health care? I think that's such a joke.
Yeah, it is a joke. Thankfully, as part of Chief Roberts' horrible opinion, he protected people from being imprisoned for not paying this tax. So we do have that protection guaranteed in our Supreme Court decision here, but it's still something that they're going to hold over our heads and use to heckle and harass people across the country as if the IRS didn't have enough of those tools already. So it's very unfortunate that they've decided to take this course, and hopefully if we get enough people in there like Joe, we can repeal this bill.
Yeah, we hope so. One of the things that I thought was hysterical, not hysterical, it's really pretty sad, there's a provision in the bill that if you have 30 or more full-time employees, you fall into the category where you must purchase insurance. So if you have 29 part-time employees, you can have 100 part-time employees and only 29 full-time employees, you don't have to get the insurance for your employees, and they fall beneath the federal whatchamajigget they call it the federal plan, whatever they I forget the package they put together.
Amanda,
I have thank the oh Jesus, I'm
Gestapo.
Having a brain fart. It's something wouldn't
just
happen when you go over 50.
Just call it the Gestapo. That'll the Gestapo law. If you can imagine, if you could go into a time machine and go back to when Thomas Jefferson was writing the Declaration, and he says, "Who are you?" And I say, "I'm Cool Mike from Blog Talk Radio," explaining and talk about that the Supreme Court just read this ruling. I mean, this is exactly why they started the foundation of the United States. This is exactly what the fathers feared most. And when Ben Franklin made the comment, when she said, "What have you given us? A republic if you can keep it." That was exactly what they were meaning. Is that all of this. And, you know, one thing that really bothers me about liberals are so passionate about their cause. you knew no matter what the bill was, if it was, if it went before the Supreme Court, Barack Obama wants to execute people for his enjoyment. You know four of those Supreme Court members are going to vote for him. But even the Republican appointees, they swing so much. Liberals are so passionate about liberalism, about socialism, about their cause. They show up in large numbers. They are just, they will do anything for their cause, and they'll never waver. We're on the other side. There's us. I mean, some of our people aren't sure when they wake up in the morning, you know, anything. And it's so frustrating. Go ahead, Phil. Sorry, I rambled on a little bit, but it's just so accurate to see how we've gotten so far away from our Constitution.
Right. And that's always been a big part of Joe's speeches across the country. Whenever he goes to a Tea Party, he doesn't like to tell people about current events, or he doesn't like to tell people who he thinks he should vote for this year. What he likes to talk about is, you know, civic responsibility, becoming informed about what your elected officials are doing and getting involved in the process. And he believes that if every American were involved and engaged as they should be, we wouldn't have to deal with most of the problems that we have now. But it's because people, you know, they don't show up, they don't get involved, they aren't aware of what's going on, that people like Barack Obama and Marcy Kaptur are able to get elected.
Yeah, now I was making the point with the Obamacare about the part-time employees, because what you're going to see happen, companies that say have 100 employees, I'll cut it down to 29 full-time employees, and then everyone else will work, I think it's cut it down to 49 full-time employees, and then everyone else will be part-time employees working only 29 hours a week. Can you imagine having one-third of your pay all of a sudden tossed out the window? Not only that, you lose any benefits you would have had as a full-time employee, pension plans, vacation days, sick days, the health care that you would have had as a full-time employee. A lot of people don't realize what's coming down the road come 2014.
Absolutely, and what we're going to find is that America is becoming more and more like Europe, where there's all these strange incentives placed put in place by the government, and businesses scramble to try to conform in the most market-efficient way with all these new rules and regulations, and we end up with strange things like people not being able to get full-time work and unemployment and underemployment, and it's just something that needs to be changed right away if we want to turn this economy around.
All right. Now, Joe the Plumber had this little commercial on his website, which I thought was funny, where he said, Obama came to my house. And then he's next shown into the White House saying, now I'm going to his house. The only problem was that Joe Plumber said, I'm going to his house. It's not Obama's house. It's the people's house. You got to turn
right
around and tell Joe to redo that commercial.
Well, I think that was kind of the point. You know, we should be able to get a response from our elected officials that has become so difficult. Now, obviously, we're not in the position that anybody should be able to walk in and get to the president. But I think what the point that Joe is trying to make is that our elected officials in Washington, D.C. are so out of touch from the regular average American person that something needs to be done to get people in Washington who really understand what it's like to go out and live in the real world.
This is true. Now, recently Obama, I think it was just on Friday in Roanoke, Virginia, made some outrageous statements, and I want to play them. And you, in Joe the Plumber's shoes, I want you to respond to Obama the way Joe would respond. Let me play this clip here from Fox News.
James, thank you. President Obama is challenging the notion that people generally considered to have made it on their own really did it on their own without government help. White House correspondent Wendell Goler looks at what the president is saying about the concept of individual success.
Even as the president visited Ohio for the 24th time, a remark he made Friday in a speech in Roanoke, Virginia, continued to draw criticism.
Somebody invested in roads and bridges. If you've got a business, that you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen. The Internet didn't get invented on its own. Government research created the Internet, so then all the companies couldn't make money off the Internet.
A Mitt Romney spokeswoman called Mr. Obama's comment, quote, insulting to the hardworking entrepreneurs, small business owners, and job creators who are the backbone of our economy. The Romney supporters say the comment shows a misunderstanding of the economy.
I believe the president believes that it's government that creates the opportunity upon which people can seize, and that's not the way it works. Our free markets are determined by the individual making decisions for themselves.
But aides say what Mr. Obama meant small business people didn't build are the roads, bridges, and internet that connect us to them. A campaign spokesman said, quote, "Those are investments we make not as individuals, but as Americans, and our nation as a whole benefits from them." And the president also pointed to people we meet along the way who inspire us.
Somebody along the line gave you some help. There was a great teacher somewhere in your life. Somebody helped to create this unbelievable American system that we had that allowed you to thrive.
Still, critics note the internet began as a defense project. The economic impact was unforeseen, like the plastics and other inventions that grew out of our decision to go to the moon. And they suggest a fundamental ideological difference with Mr. Obama's thinking.
Do the American people want cradle-to-grave government care, or do they want to control their own destinies?
For the Obama camp, that's a false choice, but Romney's team contends coming down more on the side of government is why the economy hasn't produced more jobs. Brett? Goller live on the North Lawn, Wendell.
Now, what would Joe the Plumber say to this?
Well, I can tell you exactly what he would say because he released a statement on it this morning. And what he said was that this is the president revealing once again the difference between liberals like him and Marcy people like Joe the Plumber. Joe the Plumber believes that American entrepreneurs are what make this country great. Well, they believe it's the brilliant plans coming out of Washington, D.C., and that runs contrary to everything that our country was founded on. The truth is that private sector businesses usually succeed in spite of the government, not because of it.
That is true. And I'm trying to think of one single instance government helped me when I had my business. I can think of several instances they hammered me. But as for the roads, again, he's historically wrong, and I know Joe the Plumber loves history because roads were originally in place because people needed to get from point A to point B, and they made them without government. Eventually, government came in and paved them to make them safer, or tax dollars would be voted because the community chose to have a road go through a certain area, or it was necessary that the people needed to get from point A to point B. They asked government to build the road. God did not suddenly appear from the heavens, and Obama was not the savior who suddenly gave us roads. Poof, on the seventh day, thou shalt have roads in the internet. I don't think he gets it, does he?
Right. I think we could probably find a way to get roads built, even if we didn't have a Department of Transportation in Washington, D.C., despite what the president believes. And so Joe is absolutely an advocate of shrinking the size of government. He believes that a lot of what the federal government does can be handled at the state and local level, and that's the sort of thing that he wants to push forward when he gets to Washington, D.C.
Well, let's hope that we can get Joe to Congress in 2012. Folks, we are talking with Phil Christofanelli. He's a spokesperson for Joe the Plumber, who unfortunately had a last-minute scheduling change, and he ended up somewhere we was unable to make a phone call out. So we will have Joe the Plumber back on, or I shouldn't say back on another time. So we're very happy to have Phil, his spokesperson, with us. I know, Mike, you're biting at the bit.
Two things, actually. I hate playing bouncy ball here, but you brought up the fact you work for Mr. Weldon. What made him step down from Congress? I mean, he was such a good congressman.
He was. He was a great congressman, but he's also a husband and a father, and he's also a physician, and he really wanted to return to private practice and start working with patients again because he didn't believe that Congress should be a lifetime physician. But what happened was he got out in 2008, and lo and behold, next thing you know, around comes Obamacare, and he sees his industry absolutely going down the tubes. And, he looked at this U.S. Senate race and he really felt called to get back in to the public sphere and go back to Washington, D.C. to fight things like Obamacare and all the horrible things that have happened since Barack Obama took office. And that's really what inspired him to get back into politics.
Now, I've got a question for you, because Joe has a commercial out there that's kicking up a lot of controversy. And we only have about 15 minutes left, so I want to close off with this. I'm going to play the quick clip on that, and then we're going to have a little three-person round table. Here we go.
In 1911, Turkey established gun control. From 1915 to 1917, 1.5 million Armenians, unable to defend themselves, were exterminated. In 1939, Germany established gun control. From 1939 to 1945, 6 million Jews and 7 million others, unable to defend themselves, were exterminated.
I love America.
Now, he was excoriated in the Huffington Post, Politico, and a bunch of other left-leaning media outlets. But I don't think they get the point of what he's making, are they?
Well, I think they do. They're just being disingenuous. I mean, it's a perfect example of how the liberal media coordinates with one another to put out talking points that are just absolutely false. The first thing that came out from that video was an article by a liberal blog saying that Joe the Plumber blames the Holocaust on gun control, which absolutely has nothing to do with that ad. And the next thing we know, all the major media sources, including semi-legitimate media sources like MSNBC and the other mainstream news outlets, are putting out this headline that Joe the Plumber blames the Holocaust on gun control, which is absolutely false. The point of the video was simple. When a people are disarmed, they become easier targets for human rights abuses by their government. And to argue otherwise would be absolutely absurd, and that's the point that we wanted to get across from the video. It's the reason that the Founding Fathers put the Second Amendment in place, and it's the only thing that was meant by that video. However, the left-wing media decided to take it a completely other way in an attempt to smear Joe.
Now, it's odd because when I started the show a little over 2 years ago, I had on author Naomi Litvin, who wrote about her mother, who was a Holocaust survivor and also of the Nazi slave camps. And the start of the book goes out with a letter from another woman who is saying basically the same thing Joe is saying in that video, that, you know, these things occurred and no one stepped forward, no one spoke up, no one spoke out. And the next thing I know, that now there was no one there to speak for them when they were taken away. And even Holocaust survivors are saying this in their memoirs and everything else, and everyone else is saying, oh no, it can't happen. We have to take those nasty guns away from you. We've got this new UN START small arms treaty that's coming up, and it's really scary.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what was great is, despite all the criticism Joe received from the media, we received tons of support from people who were related to Holocaust survivors and other Jewish individuals who were thanking us for that ad, for pointing out what has been said for a long time, that disarmament makes you a target.
I find it amazing that it's the people like Joe the Plumber that, conservatives, and I don't want to say conservatives, but true candidates really never run negative ads on their opponents or make up stories. Here's a perfect example where it's not what he said, it's not what he meant. I mean, they just, if you say hello, they just take that and stretch it in eight different directions, the liberals, I mean. And this is just how they operate. I mean, they really get where they're going by basic, complete lies and innuendos. There's no facts behind that whatsoever. And, I mean, clearly they can get away with stuff like that. And it just really goes to show you the vapidity, and not just the hollowness of President Obama, but even Joe's candidate, the hollowness of their campaign. I mean, there's no thought in it. There's no, and you would think as representatives, standing representatives, they'd have they'd have some courage or something, but there's a hollowness at the core. It's attack, attack, attack. There's no thought. There's no heart. Go ahead, Phil.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, it's not just the liberal blogs. They coordinate with news entities that are supposed to be nonpartisan and unbiased. And these news entities just pick up on their talking points and spit them out over and over and over again till they become the truth just because they're repeated so much. And it's a coordination between the mainstream media and the Democratic Party and the left-wing bloggers that is really hijacking the debate in this country.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to ask you, because we've got like about 9 minutes left, less than 10 minutes. Tell me a little bit about his opponent, Marcy Kaptur. She's been in there for 30 years?
Yes, she has. 32 long. And she is the longest serving female member of the House of Representatives, one of the highest ranking female Democrats. And if you go to Northern Ohio, you can see what happens when you have a representative who's been there for 30 years and has done absolutely nothing for the community. There are buildings falling down left and right all over Toledo. There are, schools that are abandoned. The infrastructure is falling down. You go downtown, there's big skyscrapers that are for sale. The coastal region, the waterfront region in northern Ohio is just, it's been completely decimated, and people have left in droves. Hundreds of thousands of people have left that area, and that's why Ohio had to redistrict down from 18 to 16 congressional seats. And it's because of people like Marcy Kaptur who are more interested in going to Washington, D.C. and having good time than delivering for their constituents.
No, it's amazing. My first election I voted in was 1976, so I usually have a thumb on the pulse of what's going on, but I never even heard of her name. How does she survive 30 years as a representative in Congress, and the general public doesn't even know who she is?
Right. She's a mystery, and that's because she hasn't really done anything her entire career in Congress. She's laid behind the scenes, below the radar. And, most Republicans just don't know who she is enough to not even like her. So she's been able to remain in that solidly Democratic district for the longest time, and we're hoping now that we have a well-funded candidate in Joseph Palmer that we can actually give her a real run for her money.
Yeah, and you have a clip up there on one of the commercials up there. She makes a really odd about soul food and freezer section of the refrigerator. You want to explain that one? Because I tried to download it, but you have it where you have blank spots in there where you see text, so it's not going to play the radio too well.
You got them cracking up there, Annie. This is going to be good. I heard you laughing in the background. So.
Oh, it's hysterical.
Yeah. I was flabbergasted when I watched that interview. She was having an interview with an African-American news outlet. It was a one-on-one interview live, and the reporter asked her, Marcy, what are you going to do to bring jobs back to our region? And her response was, well, we just have so many good soul food recipes, but we can't find them in the microwavable freezer section of the grocery store. And if we could only find a way to get these really good soul food options into the freezer section of the grocery store, I think it would bring just tons of jobs to our community. And I was speechless. I mean,
I couldn't hold that in. And the funny thing is, she's a blonde. Sorry, because we got a lot of good conservative smart blondes out there. Don't mean to insult you. It's a joke.
Well, Annie, that's probably why they don't want her to talk. It's because once they got her in office, they said just keep quiet, because when she does talk, obviously she makes statements like that. Oh, my God. I mean, see, that's one of the problems we have. There's an awful lot of these people in office that don't have a clue of a clue. I mean, it is surprising that they can use the bathroom and take a shower in the morning. And the bottom line is we need to get people there, not just like Joe, but many. I mean, just the group that are like, that have struggled, that know what it's like to stay up most of the night thinking, am I going to be able to take care of this? Provide for their families. We need those people, because when they lay their head down at night, they're thinking about the thousands of families they represent, thinking, what can I do to help the people of my district? Not really the type that lay down their head and think, boy, the people in my district are just suckers.
Yeah, and I mean, what's worse about Marcy is that she never campaigns on issues because she really doesn't have that many positions on them, but she always campaigns on people's personal lives. If you follow her career through Congress, every election she's been in, she's gone after the personal life of her opponent. And this is especially true with Rich Iatt, who ran last time, who she tried to call a Nazi on numerous occasions. This is true of her good friend, Dennis Kucinich, who she ran against in the primary. She absolutely smeared him, and Dennis Kucinich, in his concession speech, called out Marcy for running a very unfair and dishonest campaign, even though they had been friends for many, many years, and she's trying to do the same thing to Joe. She's not interested in the issues. She's only interested in personal attacks and gutter politics. And that's not the sort of thing we need in Washington, D.C.
No, that is absolutely true. And I am hoping, I got my fingers crossed, and we're going to have our tea parties so we can get a lot more conservative candidates elected. So I'm telling everyone, if you think the Tea Party is dead, wait until after the end of July when people start coming back from vacations. August is going to start ramping up. September is going to get hot and heavy. From September to November 6th, it's going to be non-stop, and you're going to see them fully come out. We're going to swarm the place. Phil, I want to thank you for joining us, and I look forward to talking to you, to bringing Joe the Plumber on this time. And I'm going to work with you on getting Dr. Weldon on.
All right, that sounds great.
I have so many issues I would love to talk to Dr. Weldon about. I mean, he just was a great, in a lot of ways, and I know we're going to go, but he was almost a crusader for pro-life.
Absolutely.
And we've just we lost him, and he was to the pro-life what the pro-life movement, what Barack Obama is to the socialist movement. So
right, and we've got a chance to bring him back. So hopefully, I can get him on the show, and you can talk to him and get his name out there.
Absolutely.
Thank you for joining us, Phil.
Thank
All right,
you
so have
much.
A nice day.
You too. All right, that was Phil Christofanelli. He was the spokesperson for Joe the Plumber. And we're going to have Joe the Plumber back on, or I shouldn't say back on, but on. Unfortunately, he had a scheduling conflict, and he is somewhere where he could not make a phone call out. So, Mike, I'm looking forward to having him on and doing another show.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, Annie, this is kind of the worst time in the minute I have to hang up. I see police cars in our parking lot. Oh. So if you don't hear from me in like 15 minutes off the air, I'm going to need that credit card to get swiped for little bail bonds. So if you can close the show from here. I'm coming. Hang on. Okay.
All right. You've been listening to Southern Sense here on Blog Talk Radio. We will be back on Friday, same bat time, same bat station, 2:00 Eastern Standard Time, and we're going to have another good rocking show. And next week we're going to have author Ed Enzel of Governorside. He's going to be joining us back again next week. So I hope you tune back in, and I hope you enjoyed today's show. Until then, be safe out there, and may God bless, and good night.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble.
You've been listening to Southern Sense Blog Talk Radio. Producer and your hostess extraordinaire is Ann Ubelis. The theme music, American Stand Up, is written and performed by Don Fortney. For more from Don, check out his webpage, teapartymusic.web.com. Southern Sense is a proud member of Ghost Fighter Radio and Freedom Media Network. Southern Sense is common sense. Take it out, Don.
American. Thank you.
tell me what you see. I'll tell the truth every time. Yes, you can count on me. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up? Don't sit down. Stand up, don't back down. Stand up and shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, 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 American.